Do you think, well, why then did you leave Uncle Ray?
Because of education. I mean, Sinhalese, we were, the only language we knew was English. When for some unknown reason, for popularity or what, government brought in Sinhalese as the national language, I didn't want Michelle to be educated in Sinhalese. Because I was educated in English, and Derek was the same. He didn't want these two boys educated in Sinhalese. So we had no option other than to come.
So basically,
we came for one reason, because they brought Sinhalese as a national language, and we didn't want our children to be educated. So we decided to migrate.
Now, you came out in 71.
Correct.
The Sinhala Only Act was in 56. So that's quite a gap between the time the Act came into place saying Sinhalese would be the national language and when you came out.
Yeah, but it was getting harder.
It was getting harder, and then there was communal problems coming in between the Sinhalese and the Tamils, and in 71 there was a sort of a type of unrest between the Sinhalese and the Tamils where they were killing each other and things like
and
that.
And we were caught up in that.
Then we were the meat in the sandwich, being burgers, you know.
How were you caught up in it, Auntie Barbara?
Well, when the riot started, Michelle was in boarding in St. Bridget's Convent. She was boarded because we were on the estate, you see. And I didn't want to keep her at Auntie Pussy's because his mother was spoiling her. And when I went and saw the principal at St. Bridget's, she said, the best thing you can do is board the child. And she hated it, but we had to go there, and we used to go down every other weekend. And every weekend she used to go to Aunt Kuzik's, of course. Then when these communal riots broke out, we were taking the boys too, and we were going to Trincomalee. We had sent all our dry rations ahead. And then this thing came over the radio, that the communal riots have broken out, and schools are closed, and things like that. So we then decided not to go. Then we decided, my friend and I, that is Mary Ann Jackson Snail, her daughter was at Holy Family Convent, boarded. And she said, I'm going down to bring Jennifer. Would you like to come with me to bring Michelle up to the estate? Because that's the safest place. Because they're going to attack Colombo. So I said, right. So the driver came. We went to the corner, I got into her car, and my driver came in our car behind. And he was Tamil, but you couldn't see. He looked just like Rex those days, you see. So we drove, and when we passed Kitulgala, all the, there's a big sort of rock like that, and the cars go under the rock, and then the police station is on the left-hand side. And I turned around to me and I said, my, there's been trouble here, look. The whole place was all bombed out, and there were wires all over the place. Anyway, we went to stop for petrol further on, and an older man came and knocked on the, Sinhalese man came and knocked on the window, and he said, lady, where are you going? So I put the shutter down and I said, we are going to Colombo to get our two daughters. So he said, my advice to you is turn and go back, because he knew it was an estate car, because they all had those travelers, Morris travelers. He said, go back. Your daughter will be safe in Colombo, but you are not. You are not safe here. So I put it, Mary Ann's driver was Sinhalese, and they were safer than the Tamil drivers. So he went to pay for the petrol, and I was looking at Mary Ann, and we were discussing something, and then he said, if you do not believe me, come with me. And he opened the door, and Mary Ann said, don't go. I said, no, I'll go. Because I looked at him, and he looked honest, he had honest face. And he had this little knot behind with that comb and things like that. So I went with him, and then he said, can you see all those lorries, madam, there on the road? I said, yes, there are all the food lorries going up, taking all the food to the upcountry. He said, look again. I said, no, those drivers are still sleeping. He said, look again. They were all shot. and they were all slumped over like the wheel, like shot in the head. And then he said, and there was a lot of sheets of zinc on the ground. And he said, look here. And he took the sheets off, and there were all these dead bodies there. And then he put the sheets back, and he said, that's why I am telling you, go back home. Go back, you're not safe here. This is what happened all last night, and we don't know where they are. So when the driver came, of course, he spoke to him in Sinhalese and explained. And then we went to, where was Maria?
To Robert Sauger, Dr. Robert Sauger,
we
who was a DMO in
Kegor. So then Marianne said, go up the hill, because her brother-in-law was Dr. Robert Sauger. Go up the hill and find out. So we drove up the hill and came to Dr. Sauger's house, huge big iron gates, all padlocked, all the blinds drawn, not a sign of life. Then she told the driver, turn, we'll go back home. And this man said, go to Kandy and go. Even though it's a longer way, go to Kandy. So anyway, when we turned the time of coming back, I saw one of the window curtains slightly move, and I said, Marianne, stop, there's somebody there. So we reversed the car, and then the servant boy came running, opened the gates, and said, take the cars to the back. So the driver drove the car to the back, and when we got down and went in, there was Marianne's sister howling. They had come and taken Dr. Sauger as hostage because some of their men were wounded and they knew because they had blown up the police station and everything down, and their men were wounded, so they have come and taken him, and she didn't know where he was. The insurgents had come and taken him. So anyway, we stayed there a few minutes, tried to console her and things like that, and then the radio was on all the time, and then Silmabo's voice came and said, everybody on the road, get back into your homes. Curfew is being declared in an hour's time. So we looked at the time, and Marianne said, we better hurry, because we were a long way from Kandy. But we knew once we reached Kandy, everybody knew the cars and all, and then we could go up. So we got into Kandy, and then we were racing up the hill, and then I saw Rexy coming down in the lorry. And we stopped, and he said, get back home. I'm going to get all the flour, rice, kerosene oil, and food for the
laborers
on the estate. I'm still going to fill the lorry up. Get all the food for the laborers on the estate, and I'll be back because they are not allowed to leave the estate because the village was down below, you see. And the villagers came up and told Rex not to allow the laborers to come down because they have to go for their Iraq and their Kiskatipu and things like that. Yeah. So, and then we were confined to the estate for a few days till things, the police quietened things down.
That was one of the reasons we left, for the simple reason that, you know, things
were not freed.
It was getting
careful.
A little bit out of hand.
We were
safe.
We were okay because we were burghers, they knew that. But like the people from the village came and said, you are all right in your area, we know you, we know your car. But if you go elsewhere, we don't know. And things were getting worse. So then when things were getting worse, the insurgents were on the run, then they were getting nasty. And they were killing anybody and everybody.